Good evening. We will now call the October 2nd, 2024 Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meetings. And how are we on roll call tonight?
Do you have to pledge first?
I'm sorry?
Pledge.
Pledge first?
Oh. Yeah, I guess. Well, yes. Okay. Call the meeting to order, now we'll do the pledge. Sorry. Mr. Gateau, Director Gateau, would you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now, can we do the roll call, please? Thank you.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record show all members are present, with the exception of the Director Porter and President Callahan, who are both absent.
And now is the time. We will open for public comment. Anyone in the audience or on the or online has 3 minutes to make any public comment about anything that is not on the agenda. Please understand we are definitely listening, but we are unable to comment. Is there anyone with any public comment? And please say your name.
Good evening. I'm Karen Murphy. I live on Spinnaker Way here in Discovery Bay. And I just have a comment or kind of a request that I know you can't respond to, but maybe get the juices flowing. I've been talking with several people who don't necessarily participate or have accounts with Facebook and all the usual social media platforms, including Nextdoor. And I was just wondering if it would be possible to create some kind of a community calendar at a minimum that might sit on our website that gives information, just what events are happening in the area. For example, someone asked me the other day about the Carzoon Trunk or Treat event, if there is gonna be one over at the shopping center, and I'm like, I don't know. But just things like that in maybe the local area, we can think about how far out we wanna spread, but at a minimum, if we could think about a calendar on our site that just addresses what's happening in the neighborhood, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other public comment? Is there anyone on the line?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, with that, we will be closing public comment. And we will go to the consent calendar.
Move for approval.
Second.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
And now the area agencies. So let's go ahead and start with Stephen Griswold from Supervisor Burgess's office.
Good evening. If I can move this too much. I've got just a couple quick things this evening. The first item, there's a flyer on the table in the back for folks, but I just wanted to let everyone know the supervisor, in conjunction with our Public Works Department, is going to be hosting what we're calling an East County Community Outreach, specifically for winter weather preparedness. A lot of unincorporated communities have experienced some bad flooding in the last 2-3 years. And so Public Works will come out and do an informational presentation on some things to take note of, personal property responsibilities, things like that. That's going to be on October 30th at the Brentwood Community Center from 6 to 7:30. Again, that's in the back. I'll make sure the staff has that to include. Another update from the county public works side of the house. There's gonna be some construction beginning here pretty soon on Bixler and Regatta. They're doing the intersection improvement project. That construction is gonna begin on Thursday, October 10th, and should last until what they're saying is November of 2024, so about a full month. The expected delays for residents is only about 5 minutes if you're coming through that intersection. They're going to have flagging and all kinds of measures out there, but they're doing installing a concrete pedestrian path, curb ramps, a rectangular rapid flashing beacon system, and some new striping and new pavement in that intersection. So I'll make sure you guys have that. I'll send that around for everybody. The other thing I have is an update to a question that came from last month's meeting. I asked the lieutenant to pass along a message for me since I wasn't able to be here about the Discovery Bay P6, which is fully staffed for the first time this year. There was a question about the membership on there. So the five members we have appointed currently are Mr. Bob Macon, Mr. Greg McClendon, Joseph Nipp, Bill Fletcher, and Jennifer Clamond Morris. Three of those are brand new, haven't even had a meeting yet. Their first meeting will be next Wednesday, right here in the community center, which thank you, Monica, for helping us reserve this spot for those meetings and all our meetings moving forward. So we encourage everyone to come out and participate in that meeting. That body's been silent for some time, so we're really trying to get it re-energized to get after some things. So there's that update. A couple other things that made their way to my office that I've been able to help take care of. It was reported that it was a submerged hydro hoist out in Indian Slough, and when we found out it wasn't county responsibility, I worked with the State Lands Commission and some state agencies to try to get them to get out there and remove that. So that's been identified as a priority object because it's a navigational hazard, and so the state's going to look at getting some resources out there to get that removed. And then alongside that with the state, we noticed some issues on State Route 4. Some of the no parking signs have been knocked over, and there was some dead trees and other debris along the side. So I had Caltrans come out a couple weeks ago and took care of a number of those things. So,
but here. Sorry,
so,
Steve.
Okay. So that's about it on that. I can take any questions anybody's got, but those are the only updates that I have for you guys. So if there's no questions, like I said, I'll make sure you guys get copies of these for the folder.
Thank you.
Did you want to talk about this shared wall?
Yeah, I can update on that. So there was if we go all the way back to when we did our short-term rental town hall here with supervisor and county staff, a question had come up about can we prohibit short-term rentals in multifamily units or basically houses that have a shared wall? It's taken a long time of getting through the minutiae with our county council. The answer that we got was, short answer is no, we can't prohibit multifamily units from applying and getting short-term rental permits because if we let a single-family home do it, we've got to let them do it. The upside and the way forward is going to be a change to our noticing process so the resident on the other side of that shared wall will have a little bit more heads-up and appeal rights than they do currently. It's a change we're going to try to make. And then the other change will be if that neighbor reports the neighbor that has a short-term rental, 2 to 3 times, it's a kind of a fluid number right now. But if that operator receives enough complaints, their short-term rental permit will be revoked, and then they won't be able to operate them. So can't prohibit it outright, but we can put some tools in place to hopefully make sure that they're operating within the bounds of the ordinance. If not, we have a mechanism to take them away. So we're working on that as well. It's not final yet. That's not the ordinance as it currently stands, but that's where we're. That's what we're working on. Any other questions?
Any questions from the board?
Good.
All right, good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Lieutenant Arquez, would you like to come up?
Good evening, board. So for the month of September, we had 332 calls for service for the town of Discovery Bay. And we had 43 police reports written. Nothing really of significance. There's one case I'm going to talk about, but one thing I really wanted to reiterate and remind our citizens, it continues to be a problem, is the scam calls that folks are getting. We continue to receive calls ranging from people impersonating bank employees. We recently took a report from one of our local residents who was communicating online with whom she thought was a soap opera celebrity, and he convinced her to pay some shipping fees. The case that I wanted to highlight was the most recent one, and it has the reason I wanted to highlight it was to just reiterate and emphasize the amount of money that folks are being scammed out of. One of our residents just last week reported he was scammed out of approximately $61,000. And this was related to what he thought was employment to a cryptocurrency employer. So a little, you know, disheartening to know that our folks are still continuing all these scams. Everything from, you've received an email from what you think is a legitimate company like PG&E or your bank, asking you to update your contact information, and then you click on the link. And it's what we call a phishing email. So they're trying to get you to open up that link and go to fictitious sites where they hack your account. So again, just please, you know, remind, especially our older folks, if you do get an email like that, close the email, go directly to your account using the web browser or an account that you have vetted previously. Or if you get a phone call from somebody saying they're in the police department and you have a warrant, make sure that that's accurate, which we wouldn't be calling you for that. So that's all I wanted to highlight there for calls. I just wanted to say a huge thank you to our citizens and the community. We had today's National Coffee with a Cop Day. We were here in Discovery Bay from 8 to 10 this morning at Starbucks. We had a great time mingling with the community. And then as a reminder, we have our last drug take back event of the year. There are flyers back on the table, and I gave you one as well. But on Saturday, the 26th, will be between Safeway and CVS. Quick and easy, pull up, drop off to spark unwind and unused medications, and we'll take those off your hands and dispose of them properly. So hopefully we'll make that a successful event once again. So unless the board has any questions about anything on the reports that I've provided, that's all I have to report.
Any questions?
Good. Thank you.
And now, do we have anyone here from Contra Costa County Fire? Ah, there you are.
The helicopter that I mentioned, is currently based at the Byron Wildland Fire Center. It is a public-private partnership with us and PG&E. PG&E is bearing about 80% of the cost. We're bearing about 20%. And we did just open it. The contract is 60 days. It started at the beginning of September and currently is through the first week in November, but if rains don't come as expected in November, we can also extend it for another 30 days, make it a 90-day contract. But we plan to have it there for the fire season. So we've had a couple of fires where we've used it already, and it obviously can be all seen much quicker than CAL FIRE's resources. So we expect it to be a great help to us, and we're hoping. It took us a while to get this model up and running this fire season, but we're hoping to be able to learn lessons and utilize the same model next. So let's just talk a little bit big picture about our call volume, and we'll drill down to Discovery Bay specifically. So this month throughout Contra Costa County, we responded to over 11,000 calls for service. You can see from the graph, obviously most of those are EMS calls with fires, with structure, vegetation, vehicle, and other broken home. If you go to the next slide, you'll see unincorporated areas specifically, which Discovery Bay is a part of, had about 1,350 calls this month. And then the next slide breaks out Discovery Bay specifically. There was an update to the presentation because, as I recall, the court had asked for that information, but I did print it in case it didn't make it in. This past month in Discovery Bay, there were 85 total calls for service. The total number of Code 3 calls, so emergency calls, was 67, and then a total of 85 calls. I believe you also asked for our response time last time I was here, and our average response time for this month was 9 minutes and 33 seconds. So just as a reminder to the community and the board, the wildfire threat over in October is not over. We hopefully only have another month left of fire season, but sometimes as it winds down, we can forget that we are still in fire season. We have a few cooler days, and I just want to remind everyone some of our bigger fires actually have happened in October. And so stay vigilant, be careful as you're out and about. Please, be mindful. Don't do mitigation work with any equipment that can cause sparks. That is how most of our wildfires start. There are brochures for residents on our website that can help guide them, both for how to plan for an evacuation, how to prevent fires, and I have a few of them shown there, but the QR code at the end that helps with you.
Chief, do you have a target time frame as far as response time? You said 9 minutes was your average, but is there?
Sure. Yeah, so countywide, our response, our goal is 5 minutes or less 90% of the time. So the state of California has been evaluating wildfire threat zones. There's a QR code there that will take you to the live threat maps. As they're being updated, the yellow is high threat zone, the red is very high threat zone. So as you can see in Discovery Bay, to the east is, I'm sorry, to the west, you'll see moderate and then high and very high fire threat zone. They don't evaluate towns or cities, which is why you see your actual area not colored there. That is something they plan to come back and do, but at this point in time, it's not about it. Next. Just as a reminder to the community, our countywide CWS system, community warning system, is something that we use, and we use with our local police partners to evacuate areas in the event of a fire. So knowing your zone, signing up for alerts with the county system, very important. If we do have a wildland fire, we will notify people through the CWS system. So please sign up, please know both where you live, where you work. If you have kids in school, know all those zones, because we will evacuate by zone, and we'll be putting out that messaging by zone. So you can go to cwsalerts.com/knowyourzone and look up by address the different zones in the county. website are some additional fire safety information for residents, whether it's for house fires, for smoke detectors, planning an evacuation trip or an evacuation plan. Ways to do that is all, are all on our website, and I encourage everyone to visit it. And that is the end of the presentation. There's a QR code that will take you to all the resources that I mentioned today. Feel free to use that. And other than that, I am available to answer questions for you.
Board, anyone have any?
No. Thank you very
any
much
questions?
For the comprehensive presentation.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, thank you. All right, now we will move on to no presentation, so discussion and possible action.
Yes, the item before you today is discussion and possible action to establish an ad hoc committee for interviewing potential construction management firms to assist the town throughout the duration of the new district office building. Staff is requesting to create an ad hoc committee to interview potential construction managers for the new district office construction. Overall, the presence of a construction manager can help mitigate risks, optimize project efficiency, and ultimately deliver a successful government administration building on time and within budget. Staff is in the process of receiving proposals from construction management firms and would like to begin the interview process within the next few weeks. Staff is requesting that the board of directors, one, establish an ad hoc committee, and two, select two board members to sit on the ad hoc construction management interview committee.
When do you anticipate this person starting?
As soon as possible.
Oh, really?
So we're in the design phase, and it would be very beneficial to have a construction manager help me with the design phase.
Okay.
So making sure that we're doing everything proper. The roof line's proper, drip systems are proper, lighting is proper, doors, all that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. That we're selecting the right items that we need for this building. And that we're being charged properly, right? The
mm-hmm.
cost estimates are correct.
And so at this point, since you haven't started interviewing, you don't have a lot of information, you don't know what the cost will be.
I don't. I've only received two
mm-hmm.
proposals at this time, mm-hmm. And I wanted to do a comparison and put them on a spreadsheet and do apples to apples if we can.
That's great.
But it will be a considerable amount. It
and,
really will.
And then, yes. And then where will the money for this position, this temporary position, come from?
From the project.
Thank you. Board, any questions? Any public comment? You please come up and say your name.
Hi, my name is Kurt Lawrence. For the board, just a question or a thought. Isn't this what we're paying Mobile Modular to do for us? Shouldn't they be providing us with this kind of expertise? They are, after all, designing this project for us and laying all the groundwork. I realize that they're not doing any of the construction, and that's going to be a third-party company to be determined, I guess, because Mobile Modular doesn't do construction for this phase. So is this person also going to be seeing us through the full construction phase all over the net?
Thank you. Any other public comment?
There are no hands raised online.
All right. And with that, we want to make a motion.
It is a board discussion. So
it's strictly a discussion.
To discuss it and to select two members for the committee.
Well, I actually had discussed this with staff quite a while back, and actually when we were down in at the CSDA convention, talked to a couple of the people that are on the list, it's definitely something we need. Without responding directly to Kirk's concerns, Mobile Modular doesn't have our best interests. I mean, they're a for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what they think they need to do, but we need an owner's rep. We need somebody there to represent us on site all the time to make sure change orders happen properly, to make sure the contract mm-hmm. is not being in any way. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying,
I've been
in construction for 30 years. There's always going to be, wait a minute, that wasn't in the contract. Oh, mm-hmm. yes, it was. Look on page mm-hmm. 3. And that's the kind of mm-hmm. kind of protection that we need as a district. Our staff doesn't have the ability to do that. For one thing, without from lack of knowledge to a certain extent with regards to construction, but also with time. They're running the town. They're still running all the things they mm-hmm. were doing. Besides, we can't burden them mm-hmm. with that further responsibility. So I'm in full favor of doing that. And because of my construction background, I would like to be on that committee if the board sees fit, on that ad hoc committee.
Brian, any thoughts?
No.
Well, I can definitely see the value in it. And, for all the points that you mentioned, and, definitely the town staff that we currently have in place does not have the time or the experience. So I can definitely see this. And now, do we want to decide now who will be on the committee?
Can I make a further comment?
Of course you can.
And unless somebody here has a desire, I think since Ashley and I were in the original committee that went through all the research of the building, and we were the original building committee, it might be a good idea to have Ashley on that committee also, but I'm just throwing that out there just because she's not here tonight to say that herself.
Yes. I can understand your point on that. However, you two have been very close to it, whereas, we,
sure,
and I can't speak for Brian, but I know myself, I haven't been that close to it. And I get, some information, but nowhere near the detail that you have. And I was just talking to Brian about another issue that we have to, looking down the road a little bit, if there's a big change in the board, maybe someone else, because, what if you and Ashley both decide you're not going to run for it?
Well, that's 2 years with building well under construction.
And hopefully it'll be well under construction, and it'll just be in the rearview mirror, but we don't know, to leave, the board without anyone with any experience. So I would like to be on the committee.
Like I said, I've had a conversation with her. I'm making no mm-hmm. Recommendation mm-hmm. other than representing her. Mm-hmm. Andy, how does this process work?
So before you tonight, there's a resolution in the packet that establishes the ad hoc committee. Now, this ad hoc committee is not going to have any input as far as the substantive issues mm-hmm. related to the building. This is simply choosing a consultant that will then mm-hmm. provide assistance to the town. So just want to get that clear. Mm-hmm. But tonight, before you can take action on the resolution that's in the packet. The only caveat of this resolution is we need some guidance and direction from the board as to whose names to place mm-hmm. in this. The way the ad hoc committee will operate, it's not a Brown Act committee because it will be less than a quorum. It is for a limited purpose of interviewing mm-hmm. the construction management consultant and will expire or extinguish at the end of that direction. So that direction, what's intended is to make a recommendation back to this mm-hmm. board that they've gone through the interviews, they'll discuss the interviews, and they'll give their recommendation based on those interviews in a hierarchy manner mm-hmm. that you as a board will then ultimately mm-hmm. take action on to make.
And it's a very short-term committee.
Yes.
I would anticipate there being more than hopefully a couple of meetings.
Completely up to the committee, but yeah.
Well, let's hope, but I still would like to be on it just to get the information and to be able to carry that forward. Hopefully I'm reelected.
Well, so this is where the process gets a little convoluted for me. So there's a committee of two directors have expressed interest in being on the board. How does that manifest itself? Is it assigned by, is it by assignment or by consensus? Or I haven't heard from Brian. Brian, would you be okay with Carolyn and I being on that committee?
I'm still listening to everybody.
I'm sorry?
I'm still listening.
Well, we have to make a decision, though.
Okay, well, nothing's been proposed at this point.
I'm sorry?
I'm waiting for some proposal at this point.
Well, you have two directors that have expressed the desire to be on the committee. So that would be what should be discussed. Are you, obviously, I'm okay with it because I volunteered, and Carolyn's okay with it because she's volunteered, and you're the only board member here, other board member here. So if you don't have any comment, then I guess that's it.
I have no comment.
Am I correct, Andy, or am I?
Yeah, so we'll need a motion to adopt the resolution. So
okay.
You make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution to establish the ad hoc committee. That's the first point, right?
That's correct.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Director Buteau?
No.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Grant?
Aye.
So given our voting rules as a CSD require a majority of the entire board.
So it doesn't pass?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we'll bring it up at the next.
You don't see any need for the committee? I'm baffled.
I do see a need for committee.
But you voted no.
I voted no for the two candidates that were being proposed.
Oh, that's not what the vote was. The vote was just to establish the committee, not who is going to be on the committee.
Well, I interpreted the vote as establishing the committee with the two members.
Oh, I didn't say it that way.
Yeah, it was two parts.
I just made a motion to establish the ad hoc committee. I didn't state.
My mistake.
I mean, okay, I think
if you want,
we need
if you want to clarify it, then yes.
Okay, so let's start all over again. I will make a motion that we establish an ad hoc committee to interview construction managers for our project. Is there
I will second that.
Okay. I was confused. Now I get it. Okay.
Director Buteau.
Aye.
Director Grace.
Aye.
Vice President Grant.
Aye.
Now we may be at a point where we'll have to assign those board members when we have more people here on the board. Because if we're going to end up with a 2-1 vote, we need to have more people in order to get more input. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Unless you can come to a unanimous vote with the members present tonight, you can table this to a
special. Are we going to come up with a unanimous vote, Director Buteau?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Did you want to be on the committee?
Not necessarily. Maybe it's just wait for the two board members to be present.
Okay, fine with me. Or at least wait until another meeting. And if they're, I mean, we can't keep putting this off forever until we have
right. Everybody
here.
Okay, so we'll move that.
Director Callahan will not be at the next meeting.
Right.
So then we'll move this to a meeting with all five of our meetings.
That's fine. Do we need to make a motion to do that, or I can just
No, that can be direction to staff. So it can
excellent.
Come back.
Okay.
So the record's clear as to anybody that's listening online that the first motion was misinterpreted by staff. First motion was intended to establish the committee. The second motion was reaffirmation of the first motion to establish the committee. There's been no determination as to the membership of the committee. So
yeah.
The resolution has not been adopted. The committee is established, the resolution is established.
But it hasn't been populated.
Correct.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. So with that, staff will take that on to put it on the agenda for another meeting. So now we will go to a discussion of possible action regarding the annual review of board policies.
So year over year, we review our board policies. And what I'm doing tonight is just bringing forward some of these policies. We've listed them all out. And I just want some feedback or comments from the board regarding any input and policy changes that you would like to see or anything of that nature. So any amendments, any existing changes. So I'm really just looking forward to input. If there is
for
any
clarification on my, for me, mm-hmm. is staff going to review each one of these policies individually? That responsibility falls upon staff to do that.
That is correct.
And so, for me personally, I'm not ready to comment on that yet.
No.
I haven't had a chance to review all those 35 policies in depth.
Right.
But I would think that at the time that I think that the board will have a chance to do that, and at the time that the staff brings it back and says, you know what, we don't want to change anything, or policy 14, we feel we want to do, we at that point will have input. I will then at that point have input. Yeah. I have no input tonight on that.
Okay.
I absolutely would agree on that. This is a lot, and you all know the inner working, so to speak. So I think
these
it would
go
be
back to the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Some of them do, but they are regularly updated.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. we are in the process right now, and we brought two policies forward this afternoon, and we're continuing to work through these policies. So
how often do you do this review?
Usually every 2 years.
Okay, roughly, so that helps. That helps us a little bit too, because we know that it's been reviewed 2 years ago. Okay.
Some of them have not, so we're catching up. And
mm-hmm. Any comments?
No, I agree with everything that's been said. I originally was not part of the agenda package, so as I was looking at this, I was like, well, how are we supposed to determine?
Like,
okay, so with that,
they're online, Brian.
Oh, you're funny.
You got me there.
we have had discussion, and the action that we're going to take is asking staff come back to review any policies with us that they believe need to be updated or changed. Do we need to take, is there any public comment? Is there anyone on the phone?
There are no hands raised.
Excellent. Okay, are we done with that? Do we need to do a motion? No, okay. Manager's report, Ms. Monica.
So wanted to just give you a few recreation updates for the month of September. We still have swim lessons going on. It's definitely coming to the end of the season and dwindling down, but we're still you probably see the little kiddos coming through here this evening. So we have that still going on. I'm sorry, we have stroke and turf going on right now. But in September, we were wrapping up swim lessons. Zumba, want to keep promoting that. You can see there are two slides for that. It's a really fun group. So if anyone's ever interested, please come join a fun group of people on Tuesdays and or Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And the next slide will show them actually sweating it away. And then the next slide, I'm so excited about. Our first ever mermaid school was a huge hit. They did their nails and they took photo ops and made crowns and looked for buried treasure. So for our very first time, thanks to Cindy, our recreation coordinator, this was her brainstorm and she did an absolutely fantastic job. So I definitely see this program growing and growing. For the first time to have 11 people join us was pretty amazing. And thank goodness it was a sunny day, because the next day was very stormy. So we lucked out on that. And then we had our last movie in the park for the season, Barbie. Pictures are a little dark, but you can just kind of see the beauty of what that looks like and inviting the community to come out and join the free movie. And again, we're just kind of wrapping things up, but we do still have water aerobics September through the end of October, Zumba, our swim stroke school, Fit Fun Fab Chair aerobics will start in November, and then of course we still have our paint nights and tennis and pickleball classes. That was it. Do you have any questions about recreation?
So the pool is going to be officially closed when?
October 20th.
Wow.
30th.
That's awesome.
It's the 30th.
Yeah, that is. That's great, especially with this hot weather.
Yeah, right now it's hot. So for the classes and the swimming term, we're done now for rec swim. No more lifeguards to be able to staff that. They've all gone back to college and school has started and that kind of thing.
But
we do still have the programming going on.
Is there still adult swim though? That there's no.
Oh yeah, the adult swim is also until the end of October.
Yeah.
Unless it starts to storm or something crazy, but it doesn't appear that it's going to be.
All right. Any questions? Anything else? Any public comment? Anyone on the phone?
Just real quick.
Oh.
Karen Murphy, Dan, I guess I'm the only resident. Oh, no, you're the only resident. Monica, I was going to ask, based upon what we heard tonight about cybercrime and phishing and ghosting and ransomware and all that, would it be possible to maybe think about offering a class? I did something really silly and went back to work part-time, and I've had to take a lot of those courses, like what it means to use public Wi-Fi, what are legitimate email addresses and things like that. Would it be possible to think about that for the residents? I think it would be really helpful. I'm just fortunate to have been able to take some of those recently. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, and general manager's report?
Yes, I have four items to update you on today. The Cornell Park bathrooms are complete, so that project is done. The hours of operation are Sunday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., so that's when the doors are automatically open so people can go in and out. Anytime outside of those hours, it is locked. They are doors where you don't get locked in, you can get out, but just so that you're aware. So we're also working on ordering signage to post those hours on the bathroom locations. Number two, filter project.
Yay.
It's nearing completion. Tie-in was conducted today, and asphalt will be done Thursday and Friday of this week. And then we'll move on to final checks and punch list items, which will be reviewed by the engineers in the group before we close out the project. The Marina Emergency Pipeline Repair Project. The liner was installed on Tuesday, and the project will continue until completion. So, I was speaking with Aaron, it was anticlimactic. So you put in the liner, and you're hoping to see something amazing, but it was just the liner was in. We got a picture of the liners in. So that's that. Okay, and then the last item is staff, Veolia, and WR4 had our pre-construction meeting for the lift station rehab, so villages 2, 3, and 4. Some critical items that were discussed were roles and responsibilities, project management, communication, safety, and working hours. So I will update you further as that project progresses. Okay, that's the end of my report.
Excellent.
Yeah, the only comment I would have is, I know so many people have been waiting for those bathrooms at Cornell Park. Maybe we could do some type of announcement on our webpage or email blast or contacting the Little League folks and let them know, hey, bathrooms are open. Because
Sending out something about the reseating and the bathrooms, just kind of a whole Cornell Park update.
That's great to hear. So thanks for spearheading that.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you.
A long haul.
Thank you so much. All right, Stan.
Staff.
Okay. Standing committee reports, internal ops.
Yes, a nice previous segue into new policies. We actually talked about two brand new policies in our meeting. One of them mandated by the state, OSHA, and that is violence in the workplace. There is an extensive policy that is draft policy that's been adapted. It's waiting to be reviewed by legal to make sure that it fits all the guidelines, but it's very extensive and very thorough, and the internal ops committee recommends that the board consider approving that when it comes before the board. And then the second policy was district site. It kind of ties in district site visitation. Currently there really isn't a policy as to who's allowed, when they're allowed, how they're allowed permission, any and all of the above for all of our different sites. And that would be everything from board members all the way through the public, including staff. And so there's some staff that really have no need to be in certain sites, and there are some that others. And so there's going to be a policy that's established that will put a procedure together for that. And those were the two policies that we looked at internal ops. We recommend that board consider approving that when it comes to it. And again, it's waiting to be reviewed by legal.
Okay, now the Finance Committee, we discussed the rate study and Prop 218 process schedule, financial software replacement, and giving feedback on a classification and compensation study. I was the only one at the meeting today. I did have a few questions, so staff will be bringing it back to the board at some point. Water, wastewater.
Yeah, again, for the same reason, we had one board member that was unfortunately not able to make the meetings, but we did meet informally, and we were introduced to a situation that goes back several years, well, decade and a half, with regards to our wastewater capacity, not at the plant itself, but in distribution or in of the flows that come back to the thing and making sure that they are what they need to be. We believe they are, and we just need to verify that. So there's going to be a proposal coming to the board from Stantec, and it's imperative that we approve this soon, approve it or not approve it, but it's imperative that it gets to the board in the next meeting because it needs to know what the flows are during what times. Although we have a separate storm drain system, there is always going to be some seepage into the system. So in order to make this a very accurate, and this is for new construction, mm-hmm. and to making sure that the capacities are what we think they are. The existing report is pretty old, it needs to be updated. And then secondly, we looked at, what did we look at Harris for? Oh, the CEQA report for the new building. We are going to have to get a CEQA report for the new building, and so staff is going to be bringing a proposal to the board probably at the next meeting that will about hiring a consultant to give us our CEQA report. That was it.
Excellent.
Sorry, I started to do that. I should have remembered. It was only 2 hours ago, but you know.
All right.
Short-term memory loss.
Okay, regional meeting, correspondence, legal report, future agenda items, anyone? And with that, we will adjourn the meeting to October 16th at 7 p.m.